The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
iCar Asia is listed on the Australian Stock Exchange and owns and operates a network of digital automotive portals in each of ASEAN's three largest automotive markets, Malaysia, Indonesia and Thailand. Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me on the Breakfast Grill is Hamish Stone, CEO of iCar Asia. Hamish is here to tell us more about iCar and how they are trying to find new revenue opportunities to get the business into the black. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Hamish.
Thanks very much.
Now, Hamish, you just announced your 2017 results last month, and unfortunately, the red ink continues for iCar. Your 2016 revenues were at about 6.6 million Australian dollars. Your loss was about 15 million Australian dollars in 2006. Loss, however, narrowed in 2017. Now, your loss was just under 13.4 million Australian dollars on revenues of 9.1 million Australian dollars. Now, when do you see the bleeding end?
So last year, we were very happy to be able to get the business back to a strong growth figure. And as you said, we grew by over 41% to just over 9.1 million Australian dollars. We see great growth continuing in our existing business, and for us to get to run rate break even in the first two markets in this calendar year, which for us will be Malaysia and then Thailand, and then as a group to be at run rate break even by the end of 2019. So 2020 will be our first full calendar year of profitability.
So you've had three fundraisings post IPO. So the March 2014, September 2016, and then November last year. And you have about 21.5 million in cash and cash equivalents. You've also then have access to additional 15.9 million of net funding, conditionally approved funding, if I'm correct.
That's right. So the capital raise we did at the end of last year included an exercisable option off the back of the rights issue. So that in total is 11.1 million Australian dollars if all options are exercised. And then we have access to a loan facility as well, which is just under 5 million Australian dollars, giving us in total access to 37.4 million Australian dollars.
But as an investor, I would be still concerned because at your current burn rates in terms of your losses, you could conceivably run out of cash in just over 2 years. And then you have a slightly longer runway with all your conditional funding. Is this business sustainable? How are you going to narrow those losses?
Well, as we see it, the existing cash in the business is going to be enough to get us through to break even. And now we have the buffer of options and a loan facility, which will allow us to accelerate the business if we see the opportunities. And the real opportunities we see is getting our core business back to growth, which has been around used car and used car dealer monetization, and then our advertising solutions business. Essentially, that's what's delivered the 41% uplift in revenue last year. On top of that, we're now moving into an incremental revenue stream, which is going to be in the new car sales, which we're bringing online and have a transactional business model in order to tap into the over 2.4 million new cars that are sold across our three countries every year.
But then again, you know, Hamish, if you look at the competition, you're not the only one going for this space. So let's drill down a little bit and just look at Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Now, in Malaysia, you have the likes of Paul Tan, and basically they started on the content side. They branched out into classifieds. Now they do events. They even do social media activation for dealer principals and brand principals. You have the likes of then Muda, who basically have a cash cow essentially on the online classified space. You have the likes of Qasim that just raised $19 million, and they are in a consumer to business model. Then you have the likes of MUV, which is backed by the Tan Chong Group, which has a B2B model. So essentially, if you look at all of these different companies, they are encircling the wagon literally around you. And one of the key common threads that they have is essentially everyone's revenue streams revolves around getting money from the dealers, which is exactly the same market that you're going to. So what's going to make you to compete with them better and finally start making money?
Well, we really see Malaysia as one of our strongest brands in the group. We've been in this market for over 10 years, offering a fantastic marketplace business on carless.my. So our brand strength, which we measure every month, is significantly better than all of our competitors. We also, I suppose, have been very much focused on being the largest from an audience perspective and also a dealer listing perspective in the market. So compared to any of our competitors now, we're the biggest in terms of choice for the consumer when they're looking for a used car.
But isn't Muda the number one player in the online classified space?
Not when you look at the volume of listings that they have. So if you go to their site right now, you can see that carless.my has more choice in terms of used cars than Muda does.
Okay, but one of the criticisms from industry players is that Muda is very quick to refresh their listings. So at the moment a car is sold, they take out the listings. You, on the other hand, don't do that. But that's what my research told me when I spoke to a number of industry players. You keep your listings on longer. So it seems like you have a lot of cars, but the reality is that's probably not the case. How do you respond to that?
Well, we work very hard on the quality of our listings and also on making sure they are fresh and as fresh as the likes of some of our competitors. So when we do the quality measures across our listings versus Muda or any other player in the market, we see that they are, you know, of a higher quality. When you look at the quality assurance process that we have in place to look at the information about the car, getting the right information about the seller of that car and confirming all of that, these practices on our website are significantly better than what you see on any of our competitors.
Okay, so that's what you're claiming, but so industry players see it differently, that you're keeping your listings for a longer time than, say, some of your other competitors. Is there an independent audit that's done in terms of how you keep your listings fresh and then basically backs up what you say, that essentially the quality is better?
I'm not aware of any independent audit. I guess what we're aware of is the practices that we have in place to ensure that there's a quality of listing. Whether there's a high velocity of low quality listings on one of our competitors versus a slightly longer duration for high quality listings on our site, I think that's up for consumers to look at. And I suppose we see dealers come back and consistently put their listings on our site. We see, you know, substantial growth in all of the audience that's coming and submitting leads. So our leads in Malaysia were up by 55% year on year last December to our car dealers. So we can see that we're doing a good job of giving the right type of consumer experience to used car and new car buyers in that space.
Okay, one of the things we want to get back to is really your cost structure itself, because essentially that's going to help you narrow the gap and get you to profitability. If we looked at some of your numbers, market research told us that basically in Malaysia, your local salaries are among the highest in the industry. In fact, sometimes as much as 30% for equivalent positions. Now, if I also looked at executive compensation level for directors' fees, that totaled about 2.5 million for senior management and directors' fee, 2.5 million Aussie dollars last year, which is essentially about 30% of your current turnover. Now, that's a lot more than some of your competitors locally. Is that part of the problem, the cost structure?
We held costs flat year on year. So if you look at our annual costs, they were only increased by 2%. I think employment and employment costs for us is an important driver of our growth. And we're very much committed to having the highest quality people working on our organization. So we want to make sure that we're keeping them in the business and keeping them growing the business as it is. So we don't believe we have the cost structure wrong. And I guess we've kept that flat this year and shown that we can grow the business strongly off the back of those cost controls.
Okay, so Hamish, one of the things I want to come back to is how your business model is evolving. You know, your traditional model is a very advertising-driven model. You've just a few minutes ago talked about how you're evolving your model. You're talking about your new car transaction model. You're going into physical events, I believe, as well. You're also expanding into car services in terms of finance, insurance, and warranty. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So at the moment, we earn about 45% of our revenue from advertising overall, and 55% of that then of that revenue comes from the used car space, which is essentially listing fees from used car dealers predominantly. So we really see the opportunity to expand our proposition in both the used car space and the advertising space towards new business lines. So we are helping our dealers also monetize the transactions at their used car dealership by offering them the opportunity to upsell their users into things like warranty. So in Thailand, we've partnered with a company that QBE backs there to sell extended warranties to people who are buying used cars, and also give our dealers the opportunity to sell them when people are buying those used cars as well. We also are moving into things like being able to originate loans across all three of our markets for private buyers who are looking to buy a car, and also insurance policies that come along with that. So we see it really as an evolution towards the transaction and monetizing the transaction itself. And that's also going to be the business model that we leverage when moving into the new car space in a stronger way, which will be one of the key drivers of our revenue moving forward.
Okay, then what makes you different from some of your competitors who have already been doing this for some time? So let's take the warranty business, for example. People like Motor Trader have been doing this for quite some time already. And then on some of the other listing and lead generation services, people like Paul Tan have been doing it already. So what makes you different? How are you going to gain traction because you're late in the game?
Well, I think the key assets we have is by the market leadership position that we have in all of our markets. So huge volume of users coming to our site. We had 11 million unique visitors coming to our site every month now. Over 10,000 used car dealers across our three countries. So really our initial phase was about growing to be the market leader, which we've achieved. And now, instead of starting from a position where you don't have a huge network that you can leverage, like some of our competitors, we're in a position to extend our core proposition towards these new services that both our consumers and our customers want to be selling.
So in terms of your revenue mix in your three markets, now you mentioned that overall, 45% are from ads, 55% are from used car listings and so forth. Mm-hmm. How is that going to change in the various markets?
So in Malaysia and Thailand, they really see that kind of a split. So we see moving forward the opportunity to add these transactional model and car services revenue on top of that. So we expect that to grow to be almost a third of our revenue over the course of the next 3 years. Indonesia is a bit of an earlier stage market there, where the media spend has not come online as strongly in our other two markets. So we have a lower proportion of media revenue there. So the short-term revenue gains are going to be in setting up our media business in a stronger way, and then also adding the new car transactional business on top of that. So we see the opportunity really to extend ourselves into that new car transactional space.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm speaking to Hamish Stone, CEO of iCar Asia. After this, Hamish is going to share his insights on the new growth opportunities moving forward. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we are with Hamish Stone, CEO of iCar Asia. Let's talk a little bit about HR. I mentioned earlier that, in fact, you're one of the best paymasters in terms of salaries, in terms of the local automotive online space. Your staff turnover, however, last year, according to industry players, is almost as much as 30%. Why was that the case?
So we have large teams, and I suppose the digital space in all of these markets is quite competitive. So we've seen some people try and come in and acquire our staff. So we're doing everything.
But you did exactly the same with others. In fact, when you wanted to ramp up, you basically went on a hiring spree, and that's why you recruited people at a premium.
That's true, which is why we're, I guess, the market leader now with a great engaged team. So we are on the lookout for how to keep those people engaged and provide them not only with the great compensation that we provide, as you say, but the right type of culture within the organization so they can see their careers growing. And that's an important part of the HR policies that we have in all three of our markets.
You know, in terms of sales strategy, according to market players, CarList basically goes in, competes very aggressively on price, and undercuts the other players. Is that your strategy in terms of getting market shares?
I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, but in terms of undercutting, our prices in our markets are on par or more expensive. And that's really because we are a site that provides the best user experience for car buyers in the industry. So we haven't been in a position where we've needed to undercut. I suppose the evolution of our model is to try and grow to be the largest and then increase the volume of customers that we have, both on the consumer and demand side, but also on the supply side. That's what we've achieved in all three of our markets, and the leadership position then is where we are, and allows us to continue to expand into other parts of the market that we've not acquired, or, as you say, move into new parts of a proposition.
Hamish, ICAR was a business that's essentially put together by acquisitions. Does your expansion strategy involve further acquisitions?
So we're always on the lookout for how to expand most effectively. Last year, we built all of our marketplace businesses onto a single technology platform. That in itself allows us a better opportunity to be able to expand into new areas and have a more efficient way of rolling out the technology innovations that we're defining new areas for us to expand into, and for smaller businesses that are either in our countries or in other countries in the ASEAN region.
Hamish, you touched on technology there. Do you have any extra value proposition compared to some of your competitors? Because essentially, from a surface to an end user, all of you look pretty similar.
From our perspective, we're providing the best user experience for the car buyer and also for all of our car dealers. So we do comparisons and measure our brand across each of our competitors, and we can see that in the feedback that we get from them every month. Also, the way that we roll out new technology is a very agile way towards development. So we're always testing a new part of a website or a new innovation and how we roll that out. I suppose for us, when we're launching into this new car space, we feel we're delivering now the best user experience around new car buying, including a very helpful chatbot that's powered by artificial intelligence to help you move through the different phases of deciding which car is right for you, also which dealer is right for you, and taking you all the way to booking a test drive. And we don't see that from anyone else in the region or globally to the level that we've now delivered it.
Okay, let's drill down a little bit on your new car buying service. Why would I go to iCar or any iCar platform, whether it's CarList or anywhere regionally, instead of going to another platform or going directly to the manufacturer's website? Because after all, you are selling new cars.
Yeah, so the point of a marketplace is really driving choice to the dealer and transparency around the individual aspects that go into making a new car decision. So you can choose to go to 10 of the manufacturer's websites in a country, or come to one marketplace where you can compare all of the information about a new car, also compare all of the deals that are currently in the market. So in Malaysia now, we've launched our new car proposition. We have coverage of over 90% of the brands that are sold in the market, and have a great set of deals at the dealership that we have from the network of dealers that are participating in this program now.
So could I go and buy a car cheaper from you than at the dealer?
So you can go and compare the best type of deal for you. Sometimes that's cheaper. Sometimes it's from the dealer that's maybe closest to your house because you know you're going to service the car.
So that's a lead generation and commission model rather than a direct model.
Exactly. So it's a new way of presenting, I guess, an online model to this part of the automotive industry. We're generating leads, qualifying the leads, booking a test drive, helping that car buyer go through and have the great experience at the dealership, and then the dealer essentially being the fulfillment network for selling that car.
Now, how do you qualify the lead? Is this AI driven in any way?
So it's AI driven initially. So we use our chatbot to be the first line of qualification. We also then have an in-house telesales team that can take over or provide further follow-up. That takes us all the way through to understanding the finance of the leads, what types of preferences they have around insurance companies they want to work with, also the trade-in vehicle that they most likely have as well. We deliver that all as a complete data set of that customer to the dealership, along with also booking the test drive because we know the availability at the dealership. So it's really a very qualified customer that's now test driving a car, usually as a confirmation test drive to then taking the deal that they know that they can get at the dealership.
Now, let me go back a little bit to your expansion strategy. Are you looking at acquisitions potentially in terms of acquiring revenue? Because you've still got a lot of cash at this point of time. There are some businesses that are out there that are actually cash flow positive or very profitable, but then probably not as sexy. Is that something that you would look at in order to consolidate your revenues?
Sure. I mean, we look at all opportunities. I suppose it comes back to the vision of our business, which is providing the most comprehensive way for people to solve their automotive needs as they move through those different phases of buying, owning, and selling a car. So we look at all sorts of things that can complement our huge amount of demand and network of dealers. That's down to things like technologies to make it easier, for example, for a dealer to manage their business, all the way to, say, other types of marketplace businesses that might be doing something different and complementary to us.
Now, one of your challenges in terms of making acquisitions is the fact that your sister company, which is also owned by Catcher Corp, called Frontier Digital Ventures, is also in the online automotive space. So they own, for example, Auto Deal in the Philippines. Philippines is the fourth largest automotive market in ASEAN. So will that impede your ability to make acquisitions in the region? Because essentially you're competing for the same deals.
In the end, we're two separate companies. We're two separate public companies. So we don't feel we're in competition with that business. They have a different approach to how they're running their business. We acquire businesses and bring them into a group and leverage the benefits of being a single group from a technology, operations, and knowledge perspective. So we don't see that as an issue for other types of expansion that we're potentially looking at.
Let's talk a little bit about your shareholders and also potential exit strategies. Now, one of your substantial shareholders, which is Catcher Group, the founder of this group, sold online classifieds iProperty for $751 million in early 2016 to Australia's REA Group. Carsales.com.au is one of your largest shareholders, and they bought into the business in 2013. However, in 2016, there were market rumors that they were looking to sell out of the business, but didn't do so because the perception of your business would have been dramatically affected if they pulled out. Now, their shareholding has actually been falling substantially in the last couple of years. It's now, I think, just over 13%. What's your exit strategy for this business?
So we don't really have an exit strategy. We now have all the resources to create the largest and most profitable digital business in the automotive space in ASEAN. So that is really our remit. That's what we've raised capital to do. So we're not in a position where we're looking to exit the business. Our mandate is to grow the business towards profitability. I guess we've communicated that we think that's on a run rate basis at the end of 2019. And once we move beyond that, then this is essentially a very profitable, substantial business leading the way in the automotive space in the ASEAN region. So we're not thinking about exits or worried about them. Carsales has been a great shareholder for a long time and remains very interested in the business overall. But our job really as the management and leadership of this business is to continue to grow it on the path towards break even.
How do you see the regional online automotive space evolving?
So I think it's been fascinating to be part of the digital revolution that's coming through the online automotive space. And you see more and more adoption across the board in all sorts of parts of the value chain. You know, we see it on the advertising side as manufacturers start to understand the value of building their brands on digital platforms such as ourselves. You see it at the dealership where they're changing their way that they operate in order to embrace online channels to drive customers into their dealership. So I think we're right at the sort of inflection point of the understanding of the value of running your business using digital platforms. And we see that in our growth numbers, whether it's on the audience or lead side of the business or at the dealership as they start to push more and more of their share of wallet towards online platforms. And you see, you know, interesting things coming up where we're able to solve other types of challenges for different types of people in the automotive space as well. You know, things like bringing online the experience of trading in your car now. So that's something that we're launching into in all three of our markets. You know, so I think use of technology to help solve real world automotive needs and problems is exactly what we're going to see over the course of the next 5 years in the ASEAN region.
Hamish, it was a pleasure having you on The Breakfast Grill. That was Hamish Stone, CEO of iCar Asia, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.